Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Mother Nature must have gotten a vacuum for Christmas last year, and so she's unleashing on us all this year. A vicious winter storm is blanketing much of the country. WCBS radio meteorologist Craig Allen.
Temperatures are anywhere from 10 to as much as 30 degrees below zero across the central plains and on up into the northern plains, northern sections of the Rockies. The cold extends all the way down through the southern plains and into Texas and the Gulf Coast. Readings are near the 0 degree mark all the way down to almost Oklahoma.
And power is out for over a million people in Texas.
I'm really glad that I have a fireplace because otherwise I'd be freezing right now.
The storm making travel a nightmare for people trying to get to their holiday destinations. Here's CBS's Elise Preston.
In Nebraska, the flashing lights of a state trooper's cruiser were hardly visible as he made his way to the vehicle to help a stranded driver. In Kansas City, one person died when their minivan plunged into an icy creek.
I got in the vehicle upside down in Brush Creek.
This is one of at least five deaths due to the winter storm.
And it's not just the roads with problems for travelers. Flying is a huge headache today. There are well over 11,000 flight delays and almost 6,000 cancellations already. The January 6th committee is recommending banning former President Trump from ever holding public office again. Legal analyst Lori Levinson.
Many people were imploring him, please try to stop this now. The president chose not to do so. In fact, he issued instead tweets and statements that aggravated the situation.
Social media has played a role in the spread of fentanyl.
Remember this guy?
I'm McGruff, the crime dog.
Well, the National Crime Prevention Council, known for featuring McGruff, the crime dog, is calling for an investigation into those fake fentanyl-laced pills that are being sold on the popular teen platform Snapchat. The council is urging Attorney General Merrick Garland to look into the troubling spike in overdose deaths among teenagers and
help take a bite out of crime.
Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
In Paris, a gunman opened fire, killing three people at a Kurdish community center.
Witnesses say the man drew out a handgun and started shooting. It was shortly before midday. The attacker was overpowered by local people and then taken into custody by police. French media are reporting that the attacker has been identified as the same man who slashed tents and injured two men with a sword while shouting anti-immigrant slogans at a migrant camp in Paris a year ago.
BBC's Hugh Schofield. This is CBS News.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Natnair with your headlines. If you're driving today, be careful. The winter storm warning continues with dangerously cold air and wind gusts up to 50 miles an hour. The National Weather Service says wind chills could reach 20 to 35 degrees below zero. The winds are expected to decrease on Saturday. Wind chills, though, will likely stay 10 to 20 below through Sunday morning. A pay raise around $8 an hour for public defenders and local prosecutors is on the wish list for several justice groups, including Wisconsin's Department of Justice, the Director of State Court, the Wisconsin State Public Defender's Office, and all 71 of Wisconsin's elected DAs. The proposal released this week by the coalition would use $13.6 million over 2 years to raise hourly pay for assistant state public defenders from $26.70 to $35. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
The Earl Ingram Show minus Earl Ingram, Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl. This is Friday, so I showed up, and Earl didn't. No, he was scheduled not to. And we're here today talking about a variety of issues. Before the break, I was talking with Tom from L.A. But first, what number do we call into?
844-967-2789.
Look forward to your calls. And I was pointing out that we've talked about this before, but I decided to do some more specific homework about how families in Wisconsin live. And working it out, we have, you know, median family income of $63,000. We have expenses that I delineated before that add up to $67,348 that include the health care, child daycare, electric, gas, internet, phone. But these expenses don't include food. They don't include an automobile. They don't include savings. They don't include an education fund or vacation. So actually, the shortage of money is far more than $4,000 for the median family, which means that every average family that is that is below the median has a bigger deficiency, far greater deficiency than just $4,000. And so these families are desperate. They live every month paycheck to paycheck. They don't have enough money to pay the bills that you would normally pay, so they have to make decisions about what they don't buy. The only discretionary things they have to not buy on the list of absolute necessities that I described are healthcare, the healthcare premium, and daycare. So maybe they have kids that are latchkey as a way to save money. And the kids don't have health care. They don't qualify at this level in all likelihood for state medical care. So they're living in fear of going to the doctor. So what's happening in America is that the median family and half of the families in the United States and many of the families who are above the median but close to the median, like I said, in Wisconsin, 85% of the families in Wisconsin earn less than $100,000 a year. And I think if we work these numbers out, we'll find out that families that earn less than $100,000, in fact, are living paycheck to paycheck with two breadwinners. So the house is on fire. These families are under a great deal of stress. They aren't going to make it financially. They're going to be angry about their circumstance. It's many of these families that probably opted to jump to the Trump side of the thing because Trump manifested the anger and frustration they experience when a political system hasn't been providing them with the things they need. If you took this family's budget and you subtracted from it health care, because let's say there was universal health care, and if you subtracted from this budget child daycare because there was universal daycare available, this family would suddenly have $32,800 more after tax And they wouldn't have a deficiency. They'd have a surplus. They'd have enough money to have to pay for their automobile. And they'd probably have enough money to have a vacation and have some quality of life within their family. But no, our political system seems fraught with the need to argue about social issues, which I think, Tom, maybe you'll tell me whether you agree, but you would think that in a system that has our Constitution, many of the social issues that our Supreme Court and our legislature is taking up today would simply be givens, and we wouldn't need to spend a lot of time having respect for one another built into the law.
And Sandy, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. And you exactly hit on it right there. I mean, this is where you get into the fact that we have these billionaires in this country that are, you know, the disparity of wealth between the 99% and the 1%. I hope that you take that you just read off, and I hope you put that into like a PDF or some type of document that you can put on Twitter through Earl's Twitter page. Maybe Connor can do that. Because that is exactly the way that a politician really should be showing with a whiteboard or whatever the average family that's out there. And again, you asked about do they care about children? Well, you know, the property taxes go towards the education. So you have people that want to lower property taxes, which is basically saying you don't want to help the children with the education. You have... you know, you have gun safety going on that people care more about their guns than they care about the children. So the child daycare, you have people in this country. Do we care about the future, or are we just like the stock market where we're just, you know, living for the quarter? And then after the quarter is done, oh, we made a profit. Great. But now everything else falls apart because we no longer have any type of infrastructure, and that's what I would call everything you're talking about with really food, clothing, and shelter, which would include health care and child daycare and all of that. That's an infrastructure of what it is to have a society, and we don't have those things. And so what that tells me from what you were saying is that probably – every person in the United States has at least $10,000 or $15,000 on their credit card bills because of the fact that they need to be able to get food and things like that that you were talking about. And so they put it on a credit card. And then because of usury problems, you got people are paying 15, 16, 20% credit card debt. And, you know, they're not getting out of the hole at all.
Well,
I think what you put together there was probably the most brilliant thing you've ever done. I know you've done some brilliant things, Sandy, but that was a brilliant breakdown. And I hope that you, I would love to have a copy of that because I think it's 16, 16, 16. I get that part. But it's really, really important for people to understand what that is and say, how is it that you can care about your fellow human being when these are the facts. And I think that more people that fight for Medicare for All should really bring these statistics up, you know, like a Katie Porter does when she brings up things against Wall Street. But Bernie Sanders should do that because honestly, what it really is, it's not free college and it's not free, healthcare. It's this is what we decided as a society that we prioritize. So we're going to take a little bit of our tax dollars, you know, $10, $20, $100 or whatever it is for a year, and we're going to put this and we're going to invest it in we the people, which we the people are the government. Getting back to my first and always initial point that I always make. So, I mean, it seems pretty simplistic to me. And then with the social issues, yes, the social issues are important. But what's more important is to know that every child is valued, whether you are whoever you are. That's what we should be teaching, like you were talking about before. You used to teach that in church. But that's what people should be thinking about is, you know what, don't make the kid that is transgender feel like they're an outcast. You know what, just respect everyone. You don't have to teach them about sexuality You can just teach them that everybody is valued and everybody is a good person. You don't have to teach them about the, you know, until they get into health class or whatever, if that's where you want to do that in an older grade. But I don't even think we learned about that in health class, to tell you the truth. It was more, you know, what we learned about at home and from our friends and people, our peers.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I just think that what we do.
I mean, it sounds to me, Sandy, what you're saying, it sounds to me like what you're saying is exactly what FDR talked about. FDR talked about a thing where people should be able to go on a vacation maybe twice a year. They should be able to have a, you know, nice middle class life. All those things, if you work a full time 40-hour job, you know, which it was unions, which was all of those different things that actually made that happen. And we've gotten away from that. Now it's really an income disparity between the uber wealthy and even the middle class and poor are so much closer in income than we'll ever be. Like I always say, I am much closer, even though I make good money, I am much closer to the poorest person and the homeless person on the street than I am to the billionaire class. I'll never be even close to where they are.
Yeah, I mean,
that's what people need to ask themselves.
My thinking was, after I looked through this, it explains so much to me about what's going on in today's society, because our middle class's house is on fire. These people who live here, and, you know, the median income is the definition of the middle class, okay? That is the middle, that is the middle class of America. And, in fact, if you look at the bell curve around the middle class, it's pretty compressed around. The income level is pretty compressed around that median. And there's quite a few people who live above the median but very close to the median. So I'm confident that 70% of America lives within shouting range of the median income and below that median income. And all of them are suffering this kind of pressure month to month. They are all living paycheck to paycheck. They are all living in fear of getting sick. And they are all depriving their children of the quality of life that a child is entitled to in terms of having expectations of life quality. In Europe...
And Sandy, let's add to that, if you have college loans that are now being charged at, you know, 12% interest or whatever it is that you have, so you have that. I mean, right now, basically what's happening is from the older group of people that are out there that actually were able to save money and things like that before we had this Ronald Reagan come along, you know, those are the parents that are actually probably helping out the children, which makes them very, very upset because they saved their money and they did the things that they did. But we're running into a generation now that is, you know, from that Reagan Revolution experiment that never worked out. Now those people are being older. They're not going to be able to afford to, you know, foot the bill for their children.
Well, the problem,
and their grandchildren.
The problem is a disconnect between the people who, the older generation, the boomer generation, their home budget didn't look anything like this. First of all, on average, in those days, there was one breadwinner in the family, not two. So they didn't have child daycare. In those days, health care was provided through the employer almost universally, and so they didn't have that expense either. So that $32,000 wasn't there, and the income level they had was actually in real dollars higher than it is today. So, you know, the boomer generation looks back and says, well, all you have to do is work hard, like I did, and things will work for you. And they don't understand that the world is different today, and it's different in some very pragmatic and practical ways. And some of the fundamental ways it's different is that today we live in a world of two breadwinners, not one. The middle class family only gets to the middle class when both mom and both mother and mother and mom and dad or dad and dad, when both sides, both parties are breadwinners. I guess we have another break. We'll
Sandy,
be back.
That was absolutely brilliant. I really hope, I don't know if I can give Connor my email address and you can send that over to me or what, but I think that pretty much explains everything that's going on. That was just a brilliant analysis, and thank you for sharing that with us, the listeners. And is there a way that you can send that over, you can put it up somewhere?
Give your email address to Connor, and we'll do that.
I can put it up on Twitter.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yep.
Okay, thanks, Connor.
No problem. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Mondays 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
A winter storm warning continues until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Overcast this afternoon with a chance for scattered snow showers. Daytime highs approaching one above. West winds 20 to 30 miles an hour. Snow showers likely tonight, 3 below, cloudy. 8 above tomorrow, cloudy skies. About an inch of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently 11 below.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Earl Ingram Show, minus Earl. Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram. It's Friday. I'm always here anyway. And here with Connor. Connor, it's snowing outside, just like we said earlier. Came in with dry pavement. We're going to go back and slush.
It's so white out there now.
Yeah. Hooray, huh?
It looks cool, but then you walk out and you realize.
Yeah, oh, yay. Yeah, exactly. So before the break, we were talking with Tom, and we've been talking about the median family in the United States and in Wisconsin went through and tallied up all the average costs for the average necessity costs for that median family. Median income in Wisconsin is $63,293. When you tally up phone, internet, gas, electric, and rent, along with daycare and health care costs, you end up with $67,000 of expenditures. You don't have an automobile. You don't have a vacation, education fund, no clothes, no food. So assume that you've got another $12,000 of costs associated with, at least with those things. You end up with a $16,000 shortfall. So even if you don't have child daycare, when your kids get older and you've graduated from daycare, you still are living paycheck to paycheck and don't have any money for savings, don't have any money for an education fund, can't pay back your student loans if you have student loans. And so you're living perilously at the edge. And this is the way the median family, the middle-class family, is living. And this is the way many families live who are just a little above the median. And, of course, all of the families below the median face this. So America at large, Wisconsin at large, their financial house is on fire. And what I feel most badly about is so many of these families don't know that the plight they're living in is shared by so many others. And most of them feel guilty about the fact that they have to jimmy with their bills and figure out which bills to pay each month in order to get by. Most of them feel guilty about the fact that they have to let their credit card build up periodically to just compensate for the fact that they're living at the edge. Most of them feel guilty about the savings account ledger they've got is zero, all right? And we found out when the pandemic hit how many families in the United States there were who could not tolerate missing even one paycheck without slipping clearly into the precipice of default on obligations like their mortgage. And so America's house is on fire. And what are we spending all our time on? We spend our time on social issues, which ought not to even be in the front of mind. They ought to just be an accepted virtue of people's private lives. And we're focusing on defense expenditures that are ginormous. We've got such an expansive view of what it takes in the world for the United States to be dominant. And apparently dominance, we've decided, is required to achieve some kind of national safety. It's never been... Those dots have never been attached and never been discussed very much, and I think it's because all these families who are living in this perilous houses-on-fire condition with respect to their finances don't know about one another, haven't banded together, and haven't come forward to the government and say, you know what? We terribly need universal health care. We terribly need universal child daycare, and we need it for our children. We need it for the children that everyone gives so much lip service for, except the children of America are slipping behind. They don't have the quality of life. They don't have the education system, and they're slipping behind the rest of the world in a rapid sort of a way. I think we have... Lou calling in. Lou from Cudahy. What do you have to say, Lou, about all this?
What do I think? I think this is so much demonstrated greed and envy. People, you know, demonizing people who make more money than you do, and so much virtue signaling. Did you forget that Joe Biden has put us in this train wreck? Everything is up. Everything. Fuel, food, butter, eggs, whatever. And now people have to make the decision. Do I put gas in the car or do I buy groceries? Thank you very much, Democrats. Don't give me this. Somebody else did it. Joe Biden made this happen. And every time Democrats touch something, they hurt it. They hurt the country and you do great harm to us.
Well, incidentally, Lou, let's just reel back a little bit from sort of annual campaign talk. And let's just talk about the plight of this family, because this plight might be worse today than it was 2 years ago because of inflation. But this very same condition existed 2 years ago at the end of the Trump administration. And so I'm interested from your standpoint in whether you think that the American political process should do something to address the concerns of this middle-class family, because this is the median family. These are facts, okay? And whether or not these prices have gone up or not in the last 6 months or 12 months doesn't change the facts associated with the deficit that this family lives in, or the precipice they live in. It doesn't change the fact of the cost of health care. No, well, okay.
Here, we're going
Here's
to break.
We're going to break, Lou. Wait a minute, Lou. I'm not cutting you off because you're talking,
I'll
and we got
on.
A break.
I'll stay on.
Sure.
I got something more to say.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Bundle up. The temps are dropping big time. Meteorologist David Parkinson.
You're going to be seeing temperatures drop 20 and 30 degrees in a matter of just a couple of hours. And we're going to go from the upper 50s in New York to the teens by the time we get through the end of the evening.
Driving is treacherous in Minnesota.
Even in the areas that have been plowed really well, if you get above 40 miles an hour, you start sliding around.
And if you're flying somewhere, check before you go. There are well over 11,000 delays and 6,000 flight cancellations already today. The January 6th committee's final report is out. CBS's Willie James Inman with details of the over 800-page document.
The report says that former President Donald Trump criminally engaged in a multi-part conspiracy to overturn the lawful results of the 2020 presidential election.
The committee is recommending banning him from ever holding public office again. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
WAUK 540 AM. New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. A winter storm warning is still in effect in Wisconsin through tomorrow morning. A bomb cyclone storm is delivering snow, wind, and bitter cold to much of the U.S., and Wisconsin is one of the hardest hit states. Many places have not gotten as much snow as forecast, but road conditions are still pretty bad in many places, and wind chills could be life-threatening. Governor Evers says he's keeping an eye on concerns over the social media app TikTok, but that he isn't looking to ban it from state phones or computers. Republicans are trying to get the governor to ban TikTok from state devices out of fears of Chinese spying. The governor says a small number of people in his administration use TikTok and that he's spoken to the FBI about the dangers of hacks and leaks. In sports, the Bucks are at Brooklyn tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Show Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram. The call-in number is what, Connor?
It is 844-967-2789.
And we do have a couple of callers. Connie, I hope you stay on. Lou, you said you had something more you wanted to say before the break. We've been talking about the median family in Wisconsin and in the country and the plight they have with respect to expenses that they face and their inability to provide fully for their children. I started out the show today hoping that we would focus on the theme of children and caring for children and providing them opportunities. Lou, do you have more to say about that? But that particular...
Yeah, right. It's always about caring, isn't it, in the name of the children. I can identify two things with regard to Democrats and leftists. One, the harm you do to the country. And two, your systemic hatred of America as a political idea.
Okay, all right, Lou, do you want to talk about what it is that if the right were in control, if the conservatives or if, well, I don't know how you identify, but obviously not as a left or a Democrat, if the party,
no, I actually love the country.
I know. Well, so do I. I do too, very much. But
No. If you're on a Marxist radio station and you run this agenda, then you don't like America, and you're happy to see political forces butting heads with each other, well, because that's how you derive your power.
Well, Lou, just
isn't it?
What's the question? What is Marxist? What do you mean by Marxist?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a word we throw around, and I'm not sure. How do you understand that word? And we don't, incidentally, this station, and I am certainly not a Marxist, and this station, I don't think, has any pretense.
Yeah, I mean, it's just pretty hefty to accuse people that you disagree with of espousing an ideology that also is at the root.
Well,
of,
Sandy, how do you identify yourself then? Are you an entertainer, a political commentator, a propagandist, or what?
Well, I'm probably none of the above. I appear on this radio show Mondays and Fridays. I was an attorney for a lifetime, and I'm an economist and financier by training, and I try to talk about the world from those perspectives, and I think I do. And I don't really have an axe to grind other than hoping I can improve the world and improve our country, because certainly.
And how would you improve it for the average working family in Wisconsin?
Well, I.
What would you do?
We're talking about that right now, and I'm not. I'm asking you, Lou. You called in, and you accused me in this discussion, I guess, of somehow throwing shade at families that earn more. I have no shade to throw at families that earn more. I'm simply saying that the median family in Wisconsin and those who live near the median and below the median face these financial circumstances and conditions, and much of it relates to the cost of daycare and the cost of health care, and those are systemic issues that in other countries, at least around the world, are solved through the provision by the government of a universal health care, or at least universal access to health care and universal access to daycare. But
Democrats have helped bring this about. Democrats have brought this about, this condition that families find themselves in today, with unbelievable price increases in food and all that stuff.
All right.
It's insane.
Lou, I just think if you aren't willing to focus on the realities, I mean, blaming this current circumstance.
That's not reality.
Well, if you blame the budget that I just described on the inflation that has occurred over the last year and a half, then you're just ignoring, you're sticking your head in the sand and ignoring the reality that this very same budget existed 2 years ago, and it existed at the end of the Trump administration, and that the middle class in America and those who live
there. Joe Biden has done everything he can to make it worse, not make it better, hasn't he? Correct.
Well,
nothing's gotten better. Nothing has gotten better for the average family since Joe Biden took office. That is a fact.
What is?
And you can be in denial. You can be in denial, Sandy, but that's reality, and I'm the pushback.
Okay. Well, I guess you don't have anything to discuss with respect to what programmatics you would suggest ought to be put in place.
Yeah, solutions.
What solutions to this issue for the middle class does your political side of the spectrum want to propose?
You spend all your time like focusing on blaming people. You're never going to spend time actually thinking of practical solutions to these issues. And you're going to pride yourself off of being the underdog. But during that time, there are people being affected by these issues. So it's just hypocritical to call people that are coming on trying to shed light on these issues evil, because even though you don't have something that could actually make something occur.
Lou, we do understand the definition of hypocrite. You were unwilling to give the definition of a Marxist. You accused me of, and you accused the station of a bunch of things.
Communism has killed millions of people. Why would anyone here espouse a philosophy similar to that?
Well, okay, let's move on.
Let's
move on to Connie.
Crude and dumb in the afternoon.
Let's move on to Connie from Waukesha. Connie?
Hi, Sandy.
Hi,
you give Patriot Lou way too much time, and I'm really tired of people like Patriot Lou blaming Biden. I am lower middle class. I didn't always used to be that way. That happened after the recession under Bush. I am so tired. My life wasn't any better under Trump. My 401k was better. That doesn't help me now. I live paycheck to paycheck. I am so tired of people like hypocrites. Yes, Lou, you are a hypocrite.
And Connie,
this is, we live in a global economy. There are so many factors that go into this.
Connie, do you think that the picture I painted, the budget that I painted, was that accurate as far as your life experience is concerned?
Yes. And, to the T.
Yeah, and so my concern is that politicians don't look at this. Why are not politicians looking at the middle class American and deciding
why
that we
should they when why should they when people like Patriot Lou elect them?
Well, I guess the question is whether we've got to find a way, I think, for America to address these things, because the quality of life that's being offered to children in countries throughout the world other than the United States is far better. This family that I described, this middle-class family in Wisconsin, cannot offer the quality of life to its children that can be offered to a child in Germany or Norway or Spain or any of the countries that offer...
It's amazing what those so-called socialist countries can accomplish.
Well, you know, and
so-called socialists.
Yeah. Well, I hear the frustration, and my sense is that people who are as frustrated as you, some of people frustrated like you, have decided to jump on the Trump wagon because one thing.
Oh,
Trump,
God, no, I'm not that stupid.
Well, you aren't, I know, but but I'm saying that people who are angry about their plight, people who are angry about the inability of the system to respond to what they want, can maybe become very anti-establishment, anti-system populist. And my sense is that there are a fair number of people who back Trump, who, however, face the same budget I just described, face the same problems I described, and back someone like Trump because he represents their anger rather than their interest. So,
I'm not angry at the establishment. I'm angry at people like Patriot Lou who continue to try and find blame instead of working towards solutions. This country is so divided, we are never going to find solutions if we don't pull our heads out of the sand.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. I think that is the problem. I think we have too many people. For instance, here we are today trying to talk about an issue and try to talk about policies responsive to it, and Lou wants to call in and describe the station.
And blame.
Well,
and call names.
Yeah, throw shade out there, shade being a way to essentially obfuscate what you're talking about through kind of anger. And so it doesn't work very well. We have kind
of there are a lot of things we could do if we wanted to. Yeah. I just don't think anyone in this country wants to. I mean, look at Robert Miranda. All the hard work he's done on the lead pipes in Milwaukee. He cares about children.
Yeah. Well, I think we just have to elevate children. We've got a couple of other callers that have called in, Connie.
Thank you, Sandy.
Sure. Okay. Thanks for calling in, Albert Holmes.
On occasion.
Al.
Hello.
Hi, Al.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Sandy Williams.
No, they call me that on occasion.
Oh.
My whole name.
Yeah, I understand.
Anyway.
Yeah, you're usually called Al, right?
Right.
Yeah.
No, I was joking.
Yeah.
But anyway, a lot of what you said is true, but I work with people way below what you're talking about every day.
Uh-huh.
People who have income less than $20,000 a year. And a lot of what you said is true about the daycare and the health care, but everyone overlooks the parts that you talked about with regard to the military spending. The United States government spends more money, has a budget that's larger for the military than any other budget. The second largest budget is the VA. And the VA does not service all of us who served. I went to the VA for services, and they looked at me and said, you make too much money. We can't serve you. I got six bullet holes in me. I lost one of my hands, but they can't serve me because my income is too high. You understand what I'm saying?
Well,
but the VA has the second largest government budget, and they don't serve the majority of veterans.
Well, I do think the dot that you're connecting here to the general discussion I was hoping to feature today is the fact that the military budget sucks a great deal of money out of the American economy, and it so much so that we have a great deal of trouble talking about things like universal child daycare because the politicians would say it's too expensive. But it wouldn't be too expensive if we weren't expending nearly $900 billion a year on defense. And so
that's correct. So, I agree.
So I think that what needs to happen in America is we need to have a very realistic discussion with ourselves as to what it is that we're worried about in international affairs, what it is that constitutes a real risk to the safety of our families and children, and by that I mean the political safety, the sanctity of the country associated with the ability to raise our children here. What are the realistic risks, and how much military do we need to defend ourselves against those realistic risks? Because right now, I would assert that the level of risk that we're building our defense budget to deal with is far, far beyond the level of risk that actually exists to the safety of the United States. I my heart goes out to our military, and particularly those who get into the field of combat in harm's way, because, you know, they're doing it on behalf of our country. But very few of the military adventures that we've participated in have had anything whatsoever to do with the safety of American soil or the safety of American people here in our country. So that's what worries me.
That's an absolute truth.
Yeah.
And the other part of that is, going back, the daycare. If people had jobs, they could afford daycare. But a lot of people on the far low end of the budget scheme don't have a job, and they're not looking anymore. They've given up.
Well, what's happened, actually—
Go ahead.
What's also happened, Al, from an economist standpoint, is before the pandemic, many families had two breadwinners, and the public job pool was filled with people who were coming from households with two breadwinners. And during the pandemic, many of these families realized that they were paying 70 to 80% of one of those breadwinners' incomes for child daycare. And so they made the decision, you know what, that doesn't make sense. We can raise our own child. We'll be losing 20% of the income we had, but we'll be in a different circumstance. So the labor pool lost a great deal of a number of workers, and particularly in the service industry, and those industries now are hungry for workers. Thanks for calling in, Al. We've got a break coming.
All right. Take care.
Mental health challenges impact us all in some way. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services is working hard to meet these challenges, ushering a new model of mental health care, redesigned with you in mind. This community-based system meets people where they're at, with culturally competent services, better access, and no wrong doors to begin the journey. Milwaukee County Behavioral Health Services, here for you, close to home. If you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health emergency, contact 414-257-7222.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter storm warning continues until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Overcast skies this afternoon with a chance of scattered snow showers. High of 1 above. Winds out of the west, 20 to 30 miles an hour. Snow showers likely tonight, 3 below. Highs around 8 above tomorrow. About an inch of snow today through tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently 11 below.
WAUK 540 AM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Good morning. The Earl Ingram Show, Sandy Williams sitting in for Earl Ingram. What's the number we call into, Connor, if people want to call in and speak their onions here?
844-967-2789.
Tom, I see Tom has called back in. Tom from West Dallas.
Hi, Sandy. How are you today?
I'm all right. How are you?
I just wanted to mention, Fascist Lou got me all fired up right now. I'm sorry. But, you know, Earl yesterday was talking about why are the rural counties all still voting Republican. And I called in and I said, you know, I believe the reason is because they are so spoon-fed the right-wing talk and there was no other voice out there repudiating it, that people like Lou, that's all he hears. And that's all he believes, is that the Democrats are all evil and the Republicans are all great. But, you know, no one brings that up. And they brings up the cost of eggs. Well, yeah, eggs are sky high right now because we're losing like 2/3 of the egg-laying chickens due to a pandemic or a flu that they're getting. We have to call them all. So, of course, eggs are going to go up. And then, gas prices right now are actually trading lower than they were over a year ago. And why aren't we praising Biden for that? You know, he's still in charge, and when he got in, all this stuff went up, not talking about why gas prices are sky high and that the oil companies are making record profits. You know, we don't seem to care about that. Oh, we're just paying, you know, high prices for all that. You know, and what happened with this gas shortage and all the reason why the prices are up? You know, nothing changed. We didn't build any new refineries. We haven't put any new wells in, but yet now gas is trading much lower. Well, why is the reason for that? What is Lou's answer to that? You know, did the Republicans do anything? No. And for the Democrats, what are they doing? We are talking about the issues like you are today. And what are the Republicans talking about? Biden's laptop, because that's far more important than anything that his people have to deal with.
Well, thanks, Tom.
Sorry, I got off my
That's okay. Thanks for calling in. Now, I think the problem with what we've got going in the discourse is we always are talking about yesterday's brush fire, and we're talking about some circumstance that exists right now that isn't fundamental, and it isn't fundamental to the American family, that middle-class family that we've painted the picture of budget-wise, and we aren't responsive in any of that conversation. We aren't responsive to the desperation they're feeling day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month financially, and the plight that their children have because, you know, without a college fund saving like our parents were able to have to send us to college, if they want to go to college, they're going to have to pay for it themselves, i.e. they come out of it with student debt. So it's kind of a sinking proposition. Instead of the old middle-class dream of making sure that our children would be better off than we are, we're setting them up to be worse off than we are. And in fact, today's children, I think that today's generation is the first generation that is likely to be worse off than their parents' generation, that we actually are in a decline with respect to the circumstance of this median family, of the average family. And it is very clear that the income of the median family in America has been stagnant for a number of years. And at the same time, something like health care coverage has abated. They've lost it because they used to have health care coverage at work. Back in the circumstance in which they worked for larger employers, institutional employers were more common, and it was altogether typical that when you went to work, you got a Blue Cross Blue Shield work card at work, and you had your health coverage all taken care of. And you had one breadwinner, you know, one of the potential breadwinners stayed home and took care of the kids during the period of when they would otherwise need child daycare. All of that has changed. Circumstances are different. We're in a decline as far as the life experience for children. And I guess my hope is that somehow, somewhere, we can put out the hue and cry on behalf of our children. We're all acting as guardians for our children, for gosh sake. We ought to be working hard at discussing every day in politics, what do we do to make the life of this next generation better? And it's not just our children. It's everyone's children. It's the children of this upcoming generation that we need to protect the interest of. And we can look at other cultures around the world, other countries, and see what a much better job they have done at thinking about and caring for the children. The education system they've installed, the healthcare system they have in place to assure healthcare, the child daycare system they have in place, the free training and education they have for qualified people in the society all the way up through their lifespan, so that this child that's born today has the promise of being secure health-wise, secure daycare-wise, secure with a good education and assured of training throughout their formative years, to the point where they can emerge into society and into their economy well-trained and debt-free. And what is the circumstance here in America for children? And it doesn't look like that. It isn't like that. And how can we as American parents and grandparents ignore that and ignore talking about policies that could be reactive to that? And my frustration with Lou is not the fact that he wants to call me names. That's okay. But what I would like to see is people like Lou who are politically agitated become involved with talking about the problems and issues and talking about ways to resolve them. It doesn't resolve an issue to point a finger at the president and say that as a result of him, we have inflation. Inflation is just the tip of the iceberg as far as a problem is concerned for the middle-class family in Wisconsin. Inflation exacerbates their problems, but they're still living paycheck to paycheck. They were living paycheck to paycheck. They are. And the fact is that this inflation is actually coming at a time of higher employment and increased wages. So these middle-class families are experiencing at least safety with respect to the employment they might be seeking, and their wage structure seems to be relatively safe. And the recession that we're on the eve of, if we're on the eve of, seems to be a recession that might not be marked by layoffs. But economists are now shaking their head in wonder and saying, you know what, this might be a recession without less employment, which is an altogether unusual experience. And I guess we've talked our way all the way to the next break.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Sandy.
Yeah, yeah. Good talking to you, Tom.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
The Devil's Advocates.
Today, I made a mental note. It was 1:09 Central Time when I found out Ron Johnson was a conspirator in a coup, a traitor to the Constitution, and Ron's been something of an apologist. You know, they seem real friendly. Well, maybe to you, Ron, because you were on the inside of the coup, and I've never made that accusation prior to today. So let's play it for the people.
This staffer stated that Senator Johnson wished to hand-deliver the fake electors' votes from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.